This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, what a magnificent Monday it is going to be. So here's what you're in store for on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Yes, I am reluctantly, but willingly, going to discuss the stupid protests from the weekend. Don't worry, they're not a big deal, but I'll talk about that as well. We have Donald Trump getting in a shouting match with Zelensky. I believe the government is going to open again soon. That kind of sucks. Apparently, we're going to go into San Francisco next and try to clean up the streets. We'll talk about that. There was a huge robbery in France. It's amazing and awesome, but terrible. We'll discuss that. And somebody hilariously did something at a hockey game that I totally support. All that, emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now let's go ahead and dig into one of the stories from the weekend that wasn't a story. All this No Kings stuff. I got all these emails about it. Jesse, I'm sick of the media. They're just showing the No Kings rally. What about gas prices? The email after. Okay, so first, let's talk about something. And you know this part already, but this is an important part of walking our way through why they do these things. Communists lie about everything all the time. Everything. All the time. You in your life have lied. You will lie again. I have lied. I will lie again. I never would brag about it. And I feel icky when I think about the lies I've told, just like you do. It's against my moral code. I would never say, gosh, I told a great lie today to somebody. It feels gross, right? Communists don't have that. That doesn't exist inside of them. Not only are lies acceptable, lies are frankly demanded. You have to lie. That also applies when it comes to the popularity of their revolution. They have always lied about the popularity of their revolution. This is not a modern phenomenon. Every place, Spain, they did this all the time when they had their little communist revolution. The Bolsheviks did it in Soviet Union. They have always lied about the popularity of their movement. Everyone supports us. Well, right now, they are still in the revolution phase in America. And things aren't looking that great for Democrat popularity, to put it mildly. The Democrat Party, its brand continues to pull at an all-time low. It's not just political power they've lost. As we've talked about, they've lost so much cultural power. They're feeling cultural power evaporate before them. They're feeling like all their power is turning to dust in their hands. So what do you do? People always go back to what they know. They always go back to their foundation. You have basic things. Your personality has a foundation. What do communists know? Street riots and protests. They always do it. They always have. They always will. That's why you've heard 1,000 Democrats. I've played them all for you on this show talking about taking it to the streets. We got to be street ready. Look, Jaya Powell, I have her. She's on the board here, right? Oh, yeah. Shut up. No. That's not it. Chris, you didn't put Jaya Powell on the board? Chris, I thought we were going to put Jaya Powell on the board. Did you screw this up? Chris screwed it up. Whatever. You know, it's okay, Chris. They know it by now. It's okay. Street ready. We got to take it to the streets. These people take it to the streets. So let's talk about what we've experienced here in America. We make jokes about, oh, it's protest season. Looks like Democrats are going to be protesting again. But we haven't, until recent years, really understood that it's all fake. That there are several, it's not like there's one, several organizations, many of them air fingers quote nonprofits. There are several organizations in this country funded with left-wing billionaire money, and what they do full-time is organize and fund street protests. It's what they do. Let's get people in the streets. So how does this work? Here's how it works. Let's say I'm George Soros. I'm just using his name as a placeholder because it's one everyone knows. I'm George Soros. I am a dirty foreigner who should have had my citizenship stripped a long time ago, but that's another story. And I'm upset that Donald Trump is deporting illegals. I need America full of illegals in order to bring the country down like I've always wanted. Donald Trump's deporting them. So I want big protests, massive demonstrations. So I do what I've always done. I go get my checkbook. He's so old, you know he still writes checks. I go get my checkbook, and I write a very large check. Hey, here's $100 million, and I send it to my foundation. You know, one of his famous foundations is the Open Society Foundation. They always have these flowery, stupid names. I send it to my foundation. The foundation, look, it gets the check with instructions, right? It's not Christmas came early, or Hanukkah, Chris. Christmas came early. No. They understand that money has to be used for what George wants it used for. Then the Open Society Foundation has all kinds of organizations, nonprofits, that are attached to it, that exist under it. They take $5 million and send it to this group in L.A. They take $10 million and send it to this group in Chicago. They take $20 million and send it to this group in D.C. They distribute the funds. Now, where do the funds go? From here, the funds go to paying the people who will organize the riot. So let's say there are five people. We'll make it about L.A. You have an organization in L.A. You really have five main people. They have a salary already. They're paid to do this. They get this influx of money, and it comes with instructions. Hey, on this day, what day did they do this? It's the 18th. Hey, on October 18th, it's in a month. We need a big protest, and we're going to call it No Kings. So go start printing signs. Go send your online army out there and start spreading the word around immediately that we're going to protest Trump this day. If you have to pay some people to show up, here is your budget. Here's $200,000, and I want you to distribute this to ensure that someone shows up, because they can't ever afford nobody showing up. So it is paid. Oh, by the way, here's your budget for some t-shirts. Here's your budget for some signs. Get some professional No King signs printed and go. But it's even worse than this, you see. It also ties in groups that you would like to think would be non-political, like teachers' unions. In fact, unions in general. No, it's not all unions and it's not all union workers, but unions are famously Democrat institutions in this country. If you know anything about the history of our elections and unions, I mean, shoot, the mafia in unions are oftentimes used as foot soldiers for the Democrat cause. So they get co-opted into this. Hey, you want to remain part of the SEIU? October 18th, I expect you to be there. Take the day off of work because we need you showing up at our No Kings protest in L.A. Chicago does it. L.A. does it. Seattle does it. Miami does it. Money spread all across the country. Now, here's been the problem. It's not as much of a problem anymore, but here has been the problem. The problem is normal people, good people, maybe even you. I'll tell you what, it was definitely me at one point in my life. You turn on the television on Saturday, and the media is covering it, of course. And that, look, there's lots of people out there. And even if you disagree with them, even if you hate them, you think to yourself, wow, there are a lot of people unhappy with Trump. Wow, you know what? We're going to lose in the midterms. You know what? Maybe we should moderate on some of these things we're doing. Should we back off of deporting illegals? Look at all these people angry with us now. This is going to cost us elections. That is part of why they do it. Another part of why they do it, on top of intimidating us, another part is it's a recruitment drive. Communists in general are herd animals anyway, as we've discussed. What about that guy, girl, who knows? Maybe not political, maybe a little political sitting at home, maybe lonely, a lot of loneliness out there today. I want to be part of something. I want some friends. Hey, there's even some chicks there. Maybe I should go be part of it. People love to be part of a crowd. They do. It's a recruitment drive. It's an intimidation thing. But it's not real. It's paid for. Organized. Now let's discuss some of the things we saw and heard at it. Before we discuss those things, do you know how I consumed those protests? I didn't go. Could you imagine the smell? You know nobody's going to eat anything decent there. I mean, if you saw some of those women, all the food was gone anyway. I sat at home in my cozy earth robe. Yeah, did I get an eye roll from Ob when I came out? Cup of coffee in hand, robe on. I did. But even she, under her breath, had to snicker a little bit and say, I know, you're a robe guy. I sat down with a couple cups of coffee in my cozy earth robe and watched these commie freaks dance and poop on themselves in the streets. Get yourself some cozy earth stuff. Everything we have, I mean, gosh, it's about half the house now. My sheets are cozy earth. My robe, obviously, is cozy earth. My pants are cozy earth. Aubrey's facial cream stuff is cozy earth. Quality stuff. Natural stuff. Stuff that's good for you. Visit CozyEarth.com. Use the code Jesse. That gets you 20% off site-wide. CozyEarth.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday, only 45 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. Of course, I don't remember if I mentioned that in the opening. Talking briefly here for just a couple minutes about the No Kings protests and things like that from the weekend. All right, so I already talked about these things are all paid and organized. Virtually all communist street activism you've seen in your life is paid and organized, professional protesters. Now let's discuss some of the people who show up at these things. Who would show up? Because they're not all paid. Some people do show up. Well, there are lovely, lovely people like this woman here. I should point out she has wrinkles and gray hair.
With Charlie Kirk being assassinated,
Charlie Kirk is a piece of garbage. Of course we were mean. I am so tired of people saying, oh, but, you know, it's a terrible thing. No! Hitler is dead. I'm glad Hitler's dead.
Something that I've heard in interviewing Republicans is that they're concerned with the health care going to undocumented immigrants. What would you say about that?
I don't know that it's true.
She was far from the only one. A lot of death wishing out there.
For a birthday present, what do you hope happens? You know, you wake up tomorrow morning.
What? I hope that I see the obituary that we're all waiting for tomorrow. That's what I hope for.
Yeah. you wishing that President Trump is dead?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, yeah, this dude, allegedly, I thought it was a chick when I saw him, but this dude in Seattle.
In this context, who's a Nazi?
Stephen Miller's a Nazi.
So you're going to kill Stephen Miller?
If I had a chance, yeah, I would.
Stephen Miller's a Nazi. So you're going to kill Stephen Miller? If I had the chance. Right there on camera. Okay. This guy got up and spoke. He actually had a microphone in Illinois.
You got to grab a gun. We got to turn around the guns on this fascist system. These ICE agents got to get shot and wiped out.
These ICE agents got to get shot and wiped out, he screamed into the microphone. Of course, the media did the best it could to roll out a couple of the token Republicans, who, of course, aren't really Republicans, like this big, huge dork, David Brooks.
I'm more center-right, and I'm not going to be appealed to by a rally that seems super lefty. But these seem just patriotic and American. And so I feel completely at home with them. And that
just patriotic and American. He feels at home with
them. For a birthday present, what do you hope happens? You know, you wake up tomorrow morning.
I hope that I see the obituary that we're all waiting for tomorrow. That's what I hope for.
Yeah. you wishing that President Trump is dead?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
We have discussed it before, so we're not going to dig into it tonight. There's too much other fun stuff, too many great emails, too many other things. But we have become a culture of assassination, as I've talked about before on the show. It's not you. It's not your side. It's not the right at all. The communists in this country have become very, very violent. Now, not all of them commit acts of violence. Usually that's reserved for their tranny pets who are mentally shattered enough to go do it before they kill themselves. But they cheer it on. They want it to happen. They're so bold about it, they'll say it into the camera. They don't just say it in the camera or at protests. In Democrat circles, this is how they talk to each other. They speak to each other all the time about your death. The death of Donald Trump, the people who oppose them should die. This is how they talk. And this is the result, not only of a godless bunch of filthy communists who don't know Jesus. This is the result of programming. Human beings for all of history have been programmable, and we still are programmable. You are. I am. Here's the honest truth. What goes into your eyes and ears affects you way more than you think it does. You know what I've caught myself doing? You want to hear something? You want to hear how programmable we all are? I occasionally like some rock music. I mean, I love rock music. As you know, you hear the music in the show. And sometimes I like it a little harder than normal. You know, Rage Against the Machine, you know, some good old hardcore Metallica, that kind of stuff. And I jam to that. I like to work out to that. Do you know that I have stopped listening to that on my way into the studio to do the show? Not because it makes me bad. It makes me mad. I sit down and I'm just more testy. I'm more fired up. I don't want to bring you down. We're all programmable. And years, over 10 years now, 10 years of Nazi, 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 Nazi has turned people very, very violent. And the heartbreaking part about that violence is you can't turn them the other way. Neither can I. Only their guiding voices can deprogram these violent people. Only the people in the leftist media and leftist politicians, leftist Hollywood, they're the only ones with the power to deprogram these violent street animals. And up to now, they have shown no desire to do so. Just keep that in mind. Now, to wrap this up, and then we're going to move on, let's talk about that big chungus woman we saw openly mocking Charlie Kirk's assassination. She, of course, is a teacher. Before we get to that, maybe you are a communist and you've recently lost your job. That's really bad for you, but it's great news for your employer because they're already on ZipRecruiter, you see. They got tired of your endless animal ways. They got tired of you calling in sick. They got tired of you snorting Xanax in the lunch break room. They wanted somebody who actually shows up to work and doesn't preach their sick demonic religion. So your employer went to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse because they found out that 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good on the first day. Maybe you're an employer right now looking for somebody to get you through the holiday season. Maybe you're looking for someone permanent. You have a more elevated position. Whatever you're looking for, ZipRecruiter has it, and their matching technology will put the best candidates in front of you immediately. You don't have to wait a month. You're not 6 months away from finding that person you're looking for. They're waiting for you right now. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Let's talk about Big Chungus next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, if you email the show, you can. If you want to email the show, you can. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. If you happen to be watching, remember you can watch the show on JesseKellyShow.com. Maybe you're asking yourself, why is Jesse wearing not only a Band-Aid on his finger, but a Toy Story Band-Aid on his finger? So before we get to Big Chungus, allow me to explain. There are things about getting old. Actually, most of getting older, I don't mind it. In fact, I kind of enjoy it. I enjoy being 44 more than I enjoyed being 24, to be honest. I like joking about it, but it's fun. Granted, my hair is leaving and turning gray. Things hurt more, but here's something I've noticed, and I'm not sure why. I'm sure when I say this, somebody's going to email in and tell me why. You will hurt yourself sometimes. And you're not sure how or why or when it happened. Av and me, we went out to, we had a Halloween party on Saturday night for our friends and neighbors. Her parents came into town. Believe me, it was not exactly, it wasn't New Orleans, right? It was the most old person Halloween party in the world. But there was karaoke and it was fun. We had a good time. Chris, you got to try these chicken strips. Anyway, beside the point. We got back from the Halloween party. It's 10, I think, at night. And Ob says, geez, look at your finger. And I had blood not only all over my Halloween costume, it was dripping off the end of my finger. Chris, you should see it. I completely tore like a chunk of flesh off the end of my finger. No idea how. I'm guessing I banged it when we were folding up the chairs and tables and things like that. But Chris said, I think I would have felt it. Well, Chris, not when you're as tough as me. No, what? But anyway, so it keeps bleeding all over everything. I needed some Band-Aids. I go to the cupboard to get some Band-Aids. We have this big box of normal Band-Aids. And then I saw this little box of Toy Story from the movie Toy Story, Toy Story Band-Aids in there. And I'm thinking to myself, I hate that I'm about to sound like Chris. I don't want to be wasteful. They're obviously, no one's going to use them. The boys are not going to use them. I don't care. I'm now using Toy Story Band-Aids until my finger stops bleeding. Thank you, Chris. I knew I could count on your support. I'm not sure that support is going to come as much from everyone else, but thank you for once. I appreciate that. I didn't want to be wasteful, so that's why I'm wearing a Toy Story Band-Aid. Now let's discuss Big Chungus. If you haven't seen Big Chungus, she is quite famous by now. At one of the No Kings protests in Illinois, there was this woman, I think, and as a car was driving by, she made a gun symbol with her hand and stuck it in her neck and kept saying, bang, bang, just a mean, nasty, demonic hippopotamus making fun of Charlie Kirk's assassination. And it was revolting, honestly. It was terrible, especially when you think about that young widow and those kids. It was really, really bad. But I want to discuss more about her profession, because I wasn't surprised when I found out what she did. Whenever I see a woman conducting herself like that at a communist protest, I automatically play this little game in my head. And from now on, if you like, you can play this little game with me. My little game is always this. Huh. Teacher, nurse, or social worker? Teacher, nurse, or social worker? And do you know why that's the little game I play in my head every time? Because every single friggin' time, it's a teacher, it's a nurse, it's a social worker. Every single time. Not just women, by the way. This dude, guess what? Works for a college.
You gotta grab a gun! We gotta turn around the guns on this fascist system! These ICE agents gotta get shot and wiped out!
Okay. But after everyone found out that Chungus was a teacher, they started to ask, wait, what? Why are there so many of these people in the teaching profession? Well, why do they keep busting pedophiles working at Disney? Why is it that when you come across some disgusting story about a dude who is a pedophile with underage girls, that he's a coach? He coaches girls volleyball, junior high. He's a gymnastics coach. Gymnastics coaches seem to have a real problem in this area. Why? Well, it's not a chicken or the egg thing. The pedophile is at Disney because that's where the children are. Because we have all had a wonderful teacher, and there are many wonderful teachers, by the way, still, but because we have all had a wonderful teacher, and we all were just built with a respect inside of us for people who do that. You don't make a lot of money. Sure, you don't make squat. And then you're dealing with kids all day long, but you're trying to educate them. There's a respect that automatically comes with it. It's like cops. You see a cop that automatically, even if you don't want to, there's a level of respect. That guy puts his life on the line. We do that with teachers. But the truth is, if you're a disgusting communist and you want to destroy people's children, you want to mentally shatter them, you want to destroy their soul and turn them into miserable, bitter communist foot soldiers for the rest of their lives, is there a better profession than teacher for you to go into? They are child predators, keep in mind. Maybe not in the kitty touching way, but they are child predators. As soon as I saw Chungus sticking that finger in her neck saying, bang, 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 as soon as I saw her, I thought, oh, that's a teacher. And of course, not only a teacher, kindergarten through eighth grade teacher. Do you think Chungus went into the teaching profession and then became a communist? Or do you think Chungus was a communist who thought to herself, how can I do the most good for the revolution? Where can I properly serve the revolution? Well, like Lenin said, give me 4 years with our nation's youth and the revolution will never be defeated. That's not an exact quote. I screwed that up, but it's pretty close. Chungus, just like Lenin, decided she was going to be a school teacher because it gives her access to your children. And she can't have them growing up happy with values. What if they end up, what if they start a family? What if they go to church? What if they love their country? How could they possibly serve the revolution if they love their country? And so Chungus said, you know what? As soon as I finish these cookies, I'm going to teaching school. And she did. And after she got done in teaching school, she went on to be a teacher, breaking young minds. I know you're probably stuck in whatever school situation you're stuck in, if you are in one. Most people don't have the means. I'll just private school. Most people don't have the means. If you can, do it. If you can homeschool, do it. If not, make sure you're keeping your eyes on the Chungus in your child's school. Remember, that Black Lives Matter flag, that tranny flag in your child's classroom is like a neon sign saying, I'm a predator. I'm a predator. Just remember that. And don't think you can buy her off with donuts. It won't work. Certainly don't bring her an apple. All right, we'll do some emails. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday, only 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's do some emails. There's so many good ones today. Hey, Oracle, I heard you talking about AI taking away jobs. Well, I'm a meat cutter, so I figure I'm safe. Your job, though, is doomed. And returning to construction is out because of your failing old man body. So once you're out of work, you can come to East Tennessee and I'll train you. Till then, keep speaking hard truths. Maybe we are screwed, Chris. Have you ever thought about that? What if AI can do the show? Chris has other prospects. Well, I don't have any lawyers in my family, buddy. I don't. All right. I don't, for one. Two, you know, I know something about meat cutting. You want to know? You want to know one of the reasons? All right, I'm gonna share it with you right now. One of the reasons I don't hunt anymore. Not that I never hunt. You know, I just went hog hunting. I don't have anything moral against it. I'm fine with hunting. But I grew up, we moved to Montana when I was 10, and my dad was just the ultimate outdoorsman. That was his thing. My dad got dropped into Alaska by helicopter one time by himself for a week, and the helicopter came back and got him. He was just out there hunting. Just, dude, that was my dad, right? My old man was one of a kind. So my old man was an outdoorsman. He was a hunter. And he would drag me out of bed in the morning, and we'd go hump through the snow trying to find elk or deer, or we'd drive over to eastern Montana and kill antelope, or we'd go pheasant hunting or whatnot. And I enjoy those memories, by the way. Enjoyed those memories, and it was fun. It's a good time. You learn a lot. But you know one of the reasons I hated it so much? Well, I take that back. Not that I hated it so much. You want to know one of the reasons I don't do it anymore? When you would kill a deer or an elk or something, it's only just begun. You have to hump it out of the mountains. So you've got to, out there, usually in the snow, not only have you got to gut it, you know, field dress it, that's no big deal, right? I mean, dude, that was kind of cool, right? You feel like Grizzly Adams. But you've got to bust out a saw, and you've got to start chopping it up. And then you got to hump it out of the mountains. And let's say you're, quote, lucky enough to where you don't have to hump it out of the mountains, meaning maybe you have access to a four-wheeler or a good mule or something. You have something, some way to get it out whole without having to quarter it up. Good deal. Sounds good, right? Nope. What that means is you have to take it back to somebody's garage. You have to hang it. Then you've got to go out and skin it. And once you're done skinning it, it seemed, does this make me sound lazy? It seemed like a lot of work. It was a lot of work once the fun is over. I don't mind having the fun. The hunting was better than the shooting, right? The stalking, you're trying to get it. Then finally you get it, it's good, and now you're going to have a freezer full of meat. But to get from hunting it to the freezer is a lot of work. What, Chris? Chris said the meat doesn't taste that good. Have you had elk, buddy? Okay, deer. Now, what I'm about to say is going to result in probably more hate mail than we've ever had to the show. Remember, you can send your love, hate, and death threats to Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Deer meat sucks. I do not like venison. Elk is really good, bud. Really good, really lean, not too gamey at all. Depends kind of on what they're eating. All animals, it depends on what they're eating. But elk is really, really good. I was not big on moose. Bison, buffalo, delicious. Freaking delicious and really, really good for you. I never killed a buffalo, but at least up in Montana, you could buy it. You could buy it at a butcher shop or the grocery store would have it, or even restaurants would have, hey, you could have a bison steak. Bison is delicious. Elk is good. And they're huge. People who have never lived in the Rockies, they do not realize how big elk are. They think they're just deer with a darker head. No, elk are enormous, absolutely enormous. We would go, they would give out cow tags. That's a female elk, female elk. The males are called bulls. The cows, the females are called cows. They would give out cow tags. And I mean, you would think to yourself, why do you want to go kill a cow elk? What's the big deal? Your freezer. A cow, one cow elk will pack your freezer for a year. That's a lot of money savings. Now, the worst, though, was deer because I hated it, but we didn't want to waste the meat. And so when it was deer night, it just sucked. Anyway, let's get back to the emails, Chris. Dear Fred Whisperer, I'm currently driving through Oxford, Alabama on the way to Talladega for NASCAR. Okay, that would be fun. Just passed the billboard on the side of the highway that said, drive a tank for $99. For $200, you and Chris could probably do some tank jousting. He said his name is Parker. Buddy, I don't fit in tanks. I'm never going to fit in a tank. Every tanker I ever knew was friggin' short. What, Chris? Just stick your head out of the hatch? What's wrong with you, Chris? That's how you get it shot off, okay? I'm not sticking my head out of any hatches. I'm not getting in any tanks. Being in a tank sounds way cooler than it actually is. It is all metal and uncomfortable stuff, and it's terrifying. Terrifying. I would never want to be in a tank. Here's something for you. Maybe you have a tanker in your family. Maybe one currently or in the past, World War II, something like that. Those guys burn to death a lot. A lot. There are a lot of weapons that can take out a tank now. Almost from the inception of a tank, which was World War I when they started experimenting with them, almost from the inception of the tank, we have figured out how to blow up a tank, blow holes in a tank. People burn in tanks. I lost one of my buddies. He drowned in a tank. It went in the river in Iraq, upside down. So he died in one. I do not like tanks. I am not a tank fan at all. I'm never getting in a tank. No, thank you. But I bet you I'd have reception still with my Pure Talk phone in a tank. What, Chris? I bet I would. People, when I tell people that Pure Talk's going to cost half, you know, well, at least my bill got cut in half when I switched from T-Mobile to Pure Talk. When they hear that, they probably like Pure Talk's values. And they like Pure Talk's prices, of course, but they think to themselves, I don't want to drop calls. I can't drop calls. I have to get a hold of my kids. I need this phone for work. Pure Talk's on the same towers. It's the same service. I'm not asking you to give up anything except for funding communism. Pure Talk CEO walked the jungles of Vietnam. Two tours with Mac V. Sog, veteran-led. When they give back like they're doing right now, they're giving dogs, rescue dogs, to veterans. That's friggin' cool. Dial pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly. Pound 250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.